Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Happy Friday and welcome back to a brand new episode of the show. It is a beautiful Friday here all across Broncos country, from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network, your team every day. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. And today's episode of the show, a game preview, is brought to you by NFL Game Pass, where this season you get football in your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. And you can also get the show on your favorite podcast provider: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify. Make sure that you are locked on every single day, Monday through Friday. We have a brand new episode for you every single day of the week. But on today's episode of the show, ladies and gentlemen, our Broncos news and notes from Thursday's practice leading into today for Friday. The Broncos, they're just about 48 hours away from kickoff against the New England Patriots in Foxborough, Massachusetts. We are going to hear from Vic Fangio, Ed Donatell, and Pat Shurmur some of their thoughts ahead of this matchup, also a prognosis. What is the latest on quarterback Drew Lock? Will he be able to play? What's the status? And it's all contingent upon practice as well. Plus, we dive into the Thursday injury report, those who did not participate, those who were limited, and those who were full. Plus, we take a look at the players to watch on Sunday. From a Broncos perspective, which players should you keep your eye on when they play the Patriots? Also, our keys to the game. We break down the tail of the tape all on today's episode of the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's throw it off to Broncos head coach Vic Fangio, who met with the media yesterday. And one of the questions he was asked about Broncos rookie cornerback Michael Ojemudia: what has he noticed about him so far? What is something that he would like to see out of him as he progresses through? All things considered, I thought Fangio's answer about the shortened offseason, the lack of a real legitimate training camp, and the way that he has really responded so far through 4 weeks of action in the National Football League speaks volumes to Michael Ojemudia and his potential to continue to grow.
He's just got to continue to improve. We don't want repeated mistakes. You know, learn. We understand that he's a rookie. We understand that he had a very limited training camp within the limited training camp with his injury. It is baptism through fire, but we want to see a guy that's confident. We want to see a guy that's executing, and we want to see a guy that's competing all the time and never gets his dauber down if he gives up a completion and just keeps competing, okay, and grows as a player, both physically and emotionally.
So far, what we have seen from Michael Ojemudia in the first 4 weeks, we've seen that growth. There was that game against Pittsburgh, the push-off by Claypool, a long-time touchdown. And, you know, unfortunately, calls don't always go your way, and that was a learning lesson for Michael Ojemudia. And then another touchdown, and certainly on that one, these are learning experiences. And one thing, too, I could tell you about defensive back play, I'm kind of an expert in that field, is that you have to have a short-term memory. You really do. Because here's the deal. You're going against some of the most talented athletes in this entire world at a skill position where they already know their route concepts, where they are going. You're reacting in a backpedal, or you're in press coverage. You're reacting based on hip movement alone, and you are trying to anticipate where that is. And the thing is, they're fast. They're super speedy. So defensive back play, I have so much respect for. That's why I loved playing it. It was one of the toughest positions to play. And Michael Ojemudia, considering that he missed some time with that quad injury, didn't really get the full-on training camp, no preseason. The fact that he came out in that week one game against Tennessee and really shined, that was something that stood out to me. And I don't think that a lot of people had thought that Michael Ojemudia would be playing at the level that he's playing at so far. Now, he's got to continue to build and maintain on that. And if he can, I think the Broncos have a guy long-term that could stick around. And look, I think that's what the Broncos could use at corner. I think he really goes alongside really well with A.J. Boye, Bryce Callahan in that secondary room, along with Devontae Bosby. And we've seen this year, we've seen in years past for Denver, you can never have enough cornerbacks. And I think that the Broncos right now probably have one of the more solidified cornerback rooms in the NFL, and that's going to be even more further cemented once A.J. Boye returns. Now, I'm not saying they're the most talented, but I think that they have traits between all of them that make them a very unique tandem altogether in the NFL. And then you got the guys in the back end with Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson, who are improving every single week and getting better and getting more acclimated to the NFL game, obviously with the whole COVID-based offseason. their play and their performance has been very impressive as well down the stretch lately. And so I think for the Broncos, the things they got to clean up is obviously tackling, pursuit angles. If they can fix some of those things defensively, I think that they're going to be in good hands. They're going to be a strong unit down the stretch, and we'll talk about that a little bit more as we get into the tail of the tape later on here in the show. But now I want to throw things over to Broncos defense coordinator Ed Donatell, who also met with the media yesterday right before practice. And one of the things he touched on was the inside linebacker play by Josie Jewell, not only just Alexander Johnson, what that linebacker position means for this Broncos defense, how they've improved from week to week. And obviously it's going to be a big test this weekend for the Broncos, probably their strongest test of the season considering the rushing attack and the dynamic offense that New England presents with or without Cam Newton there. They have three running backs that can get the job done, and the inside linebackers will have their hands full. Here's what Ed Donatell had to say about Josie Jewell.
Yeah, he keeps getting stronger and stronger. And, you know, it's nice right now. We have a nice balance of both of our linebackers can create pressure. People have to keep, you know, treat him equally because he had some nice pressure, and we know AJ can do it. So it's nice to have a dual threat there.
If the Broncos are going to have any type of chance to win this game on Sunday against New England, with or without Cam Newton there, a quarterback for the Patriots, they've got to find a way to slow down the rushing attack of James White, Damian Harris, and even Rex Burkhead. Those guys are contributing at a very, very high level. When you look at what New England has been able to do, they're the second-ranked rushing attack in the National Football League, and it's going to be a test here for this Denver Broncos football team. I'm going to throw it to the offensive side of the ball now. Offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur took some time to meet with the media as well yesterday before practice, and Shurmur was asked about his confidence in Brett Rypien, looking back at some of the mistakes that he made last week against the Jets, some of the interceptions, but really showing the wherewithal for him really just being able to continue to go and still run the playbook, not limit him, not decide to just run the football and let the defense try to win the game, but still going back and allowing him to take shots, allowing him to take chances. Here's what Pat Shurmur had to say about the Broncos' young quarterback who could be getting the start this Sunday against the Patriots.
That's just me. I have confidence in all our players that are on the field. And when you're a quarterback, you have to deliver the ball. And, you know, I think there were a couple plays last week that he'd like to have back. But for the most part, you know, I like the fact that he is aggressive. He has a pretty good view of what's going on in the game. You know, now he's got to stay within himself and be smart. I think it's important to make good decisions early and late and every down. And, you know, so we'll just keep trusting him. I'm a trusting soul that way. So if you're out there and you're going to get an opportunity, and I think that as time goes on, though, then the players grow around that. You know, I don't think you can do this. You can't coach this thing scared. You can't coach this thing tentative, and you just got to keep, you know, you put a plan together and then you just got to trust the players to execute it. And as long as they're out there, you just got to give them their opportunities.
And the Broncos will practice once again today, so we'll find out the actual status of Drew Lock for Sunday's game a little bit before practice from the coaches here today as they report back to the field at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to take a look at our players to watch on Sunday's game against the New England Patriots. Take a look at players for the Broncos on offense and on defense and how they must perform on Sunday to give the Broncos the best chance overall to get things going. But before we do that, I got to tell you about the sponsors of today's episode of the show, our good friends over there at Visa and Pepsi. But with Visa, help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team supporting you and your community. They remember your order and they call you by name. They're always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you choose to go shopping, help your team score and choose to shop at local businesses. And while you're there, look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. And our good friends over there at Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. And the Broncos are on the road this Sunday against the New England Patriots, and Pepsi is the beverage and the refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. All right, Broncos country, like I said, beautiful Friday all across Broncos country here today. We got to take a look at the players to watch in Sunday's matchup against the New England Patriots. Obviously, a lot of different circumstances. No Stephon Gilmore for the Patriots on Sunday. We still don't know, as of right now, what the status is on Cam Newton, whether he is or isn't going to play. And the Patriots, they could return to the facility today to practice, but everything this week for them has been completely virtual. So no physical preparation there. So you really wonder how that's going to affect the matchup as well. And also taking a look back to, if you want a little bit more of a game preview and you want to hear some insight as to what's going on with the Patriots, check out yesterday's episode, Lockdown Broncos. We had a crossover episode with Mike DeBate of Lockdown Patriots, and it was fantastic. A lot of great insight from Mike as to what to expect from this Patriots team. And with Stephon Gilmore out, obviously who the Patriots will rely on defensively in the secondary against some of the Broncos' offensive weapons. But speaking of that, let's take a look at our players to watch, folks. And I'm going to start off with a wide receiver. Now, if you look at some of the NFL wires, you look at the NFL Network ticker tape, they are talking about start-em, sit-em for fantasy football. They got Jerry Jeudy listed as a sit-em. I don't know if that fluctuates or factors into Stephon Gilmore being out. I don't think they've updated that, but ideally I would look for Jerry Jeudy to probably have a big game against the Patriots, considering the secondary with Gilmore out. You know, you got McCourty over the top, but he's going to have to cover some other guys. Now, I could see McCourty coming down and covering Jeudy in the scenario that that is really what they believe is the best option for them, rotating another guy back to the safety position. I could see them doing that, but I don't think Bill Belichick is going to take away the back end of his secondary to move him up to play coverage on Jeudy. Jerry Judy's going to find ways to get open. It's all about whether or not Brett Rippon and the quarterback, whoever it is, whether it's Brett Rippon or Drew Lock, we don't know who the starter is just yet. It's going to be expected to be a Brett Rippon, but Lock could play. That hasn't been ruled out just yet, but Jerry Jeudy, I feel like, is going to be one of those players that is going to have a breakout game, or he's primed to. He's going to be in a position to do so. Last week, we saw Tim Patrick really step up, 6 catches and 113 yards and 1 touchdown. You may see the Patriots focus some attention on him. He's had a very solid and consistent season for this Broncos football team so far, with 209 total receiving yards through 4 games, and he's already got 2 touchdowns on the season. So keep an eye on that, but Jerry Jeudy does find himself in a position, whether he's on the outside, whether he's on the inside, to be able to work against some of that man coverage and that zone coverage. He understands how to really manipulate it. And that's one thing I've been looking at Jerry Jeudy on film. I've been watching. He's just understanding, regardless, against some of the best cover guys, even Antoine Winfield Jr. when they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, against Pierre Desir several times. I mean, he was just constantly getting open, getting separation. And all it takes, folks, too, when you look at film, all it takes is getting 6 inches of separation on an in-breaking, out-breaking, or even a vertical route, and the rest is on the quarterback to get the ball to him in a spot where it's leading him. It's not thrown behind. It's not thrown too far behind him or to the outside. They got to find a way to drop it in perfectly, and so that's part of the challenge too. So when I think a lot of people look at the stat sheet and they say, well, Jerry Jeudy isn't having the year that many people had expected for him and the Broncos, well, guess what? He's played with his third quarterback so far this year, and I think Brett Rippon is getting into a little bit of a rhythm. Obviously, those guys have developed a little bit of a rapport in practice. That's going to be one of the matchups to watch, as Jerry Jeudy against this Patriots secondary with Stephon Gilmore being out. It is going to be very critical. It's going to be very crucial overall for them. So keep an eye on Jeudy. But let's take a look also at the defensive side of the ball. I want to really look at Shelby Harris in this matchup against Shaq Mason, the right guard, and James Ferentz, former Denver Bronco, by the way. He was on the Super Bowl 50 winning team for Denver back in 2015. I want to see Shelby Harris against these guys, because Shelby is going to line up in a one tech. He's going to line up in a 2-eye. He's going to line up in a head up on the guard, which will be Shaq Mason more than likely. And then he's also going to line up in a 3 technique. So he's going to see a lot of double team action from Shaq Mason and James Ferentz when he is in there. I think that if he can get his anchor there, I mean, look, his movement has been really noticeable on tape. If you go and pull up the All-22 film, Shelby's got his hand in the dirt, but he's got a great low center of gravity. He's got a great base in a three-point stance. And the way that he shoots off the ball and immediately strikes with his hands, and what you're going to see is the right guard, the offensive lineman, they're going to attack. They're shooting their hands for extension. Shelby is clubbing the hands down. He is swimming through, or he's ripping through, and he's swiping guys away. Shelby is very strong on the interior from the point of attack, and that's one thing I want to see against the Patriots. And here's the deal, too. It's going to be very critical, because the Patriots are the second-ranked rushing offense in the National Football League. They are very good at it. Their bread and butter is about being physical, double-teaming the interior defensive lineman, getting up to the next level, and creating space for their small and elusive backs to be able to find a crease and then explode. the Broncos have to account for that because there's three tailbacks that they're going to have to worry about. Rex Burkhead, you're going to talk about Damian Harris, who had a burstful game against the Chiefs on Monday Night Football earlier in this week. And then you got James White, who is really your do-it-all kind of back, agile receiving back, and also the guy that's going to spring through the A and the B gap or even get on toss plays to the outside. So it's going to be very interesting. I think Shelby Harris is going to be a deciding factor in this matchup, because I think he will see attention from Shaq Mason, James Ferentz, to the point where other guys on the outside, they're going to get more one-on-one opportunities. That's where the Broncos have been very disruptive, and obviously you're hoping that a guy like Mike Purcell can play as well. He's been dealing with a knee issue. Did not participate in yesterday's practice or the day before after getting a contract extension, but we're going to find out a little bit more today if he returns to the field. But Vic Fangio said yesterday that he is questionable for Sunday's game, so keep an eye on Shelby Harris versus Shaq Mason, James Ferentz. And I think also one of the other important lineups, I think the Broncos are going to stick with what we saw against the New York Jets. I think they're going to have Bryce Callahan play inside the slot in the nickel, and he's going to draw the coverage assignment on Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman, just when you watch film, I went and watched the All-22 film against Kansas City. I watched it from the week prior. He just seems very disinterested. It's really weird. His body language isn't that great, and when you go back to the Kansas City game, that pass that was thrown to him by Jarrett Stidham that was intercepted for a touchdown, that's on Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman's got to make that catch. It was a clear drop and right into the hands of a defender. So I don't know what it is with Julian Edelman this year. Maybe it's having a Tom Brady withdrawals, but he has not looked very interested in getting involved in the Patriots offense so far this season. So that's going to be something I'm going to keep my eye on. Bryce Callahan against Julian Edelman will be a difference maker there. And as I had mentioned too, you know, part of it was Shelby Harris. I think the Broncos front seven, I think really when you look at the outside backers where it's going to be Bradley Chubb and it's going to be Anthony Chickalow more than likely, or Malik Reed, and then you're going to take a look at the inside backers, Josie Jewell, Alexander Johnson, then you look on the interior, Mike Purcell, or even a guy like Shelby Harris, that front seven is going to have their hands full against these three running backs. And I'm intrigued to see how the Broncos are going to switch things up based on which back is in. Damian Harris is more of the big physical back. Rex Burkhead is more of that little medium, low center of gravity guy that if you have a short yardage, he's going to burst through it because he's fast. Not that, and he's also kind of physical, but he's not as bulky as any of the other backs. And even too, James White is, you know, smaller guy, agile receiver, very good friends of Melvin Gordon, a completely different guy. He's their burner guy. He's going to gash you if you give him an open increase. How the Broncos play each of these backs when they are in, to me, is going to be the most interesting thing that I'm looking at when I'm evaluating this game from a players to watch standpoint. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to get into our keys to the game. We're going to take a look at the tail of the tape between the Broncos and the Patriots. We're going to talk about what the Broncos need to do to put themselves in a position to succeed. But before we do that, I got to tell you about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That is our good friends over there, sportsbetting.com. And they are now live and taking action in the Box State of Colorado. Sportsbetting.com is passionate about sports and the authority on sports betting. With their own in-house bookmakers, sportsbetting.com is known for their sharp odds and their low juice. That means the best prices for you. Plus, new players, they get a welcome bonus, a 100% risk-free week of sports betting up to $500. And the NBA Finals is tonight, Game 5. Can the Lakers close out to win the Finals? Put your money on the line at sportsbetting.com because they offer no-hassle bonuses with just a one-time playthrough. So take advantage of their NFL touchdown and NBA playoff MVP promotions with can't-lose offers on first touchdown and triple-double scores. Get your action on at the home of sports betting. That's sportsbetting.com/LockedOnBroncos. All right, Broncos country, let's ring the bell and let's get into our Denver Broncos keys to the game. Take a look at the tail of the tape here, and I want to focus here on the Broncos offense. When you look at the overall tail of the tape, they are red all across the board offensively. They are bottom ranked in almost every major statistical category on the offensive side of the ball. In terms of a turnover margin, they're 31st in the NFL at -6. Time of possession, they are 23rd at 29 minutes and 7 seconds. Offensively, though, yards per game, 29th. Yards per play, 28th. Points per game, they're 28th overall, 20.5, which I think when you look at these rankings too, you have to take it with a grain of salt because this is the first quarter of the season. There's only been 4 games played, and it fluctuates on a week-to-week basis, and then it becomes a larger sample size. But right now, the overall concern through 4 games is that the Broncos are just bottom-ranked in almost every category. To be expected, without your top wide receiver, you're missing your star quarterback that you hope is going to be the guy, and you've also been missing your running back in Phillip Lindsay. In terms of net rushing yards per game. The Broncos have only ran for 92.5 yards per game. That's not going to get it done, especially when the other team on the other side of the ball, they're the second-ranked rushing offense at 179 yards per game. That right there is ridiculous when you look at it under the microscope inside the vacuum. 214.3 total yards passing per game. That ranks the Broncos as the 25th-ranked passing offense in the NFL. And also, too, in terms of passes that have been intercepted, the Broncos have had 6 passes intercepted, putting them at a tie for 30th in the NFL. And the Broncos have only lost 2 fumbles this season. That's tied for 15th. Same thing for New England. But overall, in terms of giveaways, both teams are really close there. They've had 8 giveaways overall. Denver has, putting them at 28th in the NFL. And New England has given the ball away 7 times, putting them at 25th in the NFL as well. Sacks allowed. Denver's allowed 13 sacks. That's 28th ranked. And then when you look at the New England Patriots, they've only allowed 7 through 4 games. Obviously, just a couple of sacks here or there, a couple of statistics, a couple of fumbles, interceptions, makes a big difference in terms of the overall rankings when you look at the broad spectrum of 32 teams in the NFL. Overall, though, the Broncos, here's the concern as well. Third down percentage, 38% conversion percentage. That's 24th in the NFL. That's not good enough. You have to be better than that. And also in the red zone, the Broncos are the 29th ranked red zone offense at 46.1% overall. Defensively, though, I think this is where the Broncos can balance out a little bit. Obviously, their strength as a football team. In terms of total net yards per game, the Broncos rank 16th at 365. You look at yards per play, they're the 8th ranked defense and only allowing 5.2 yards per play overall, which is great in comparison to New England. They're allowing 6.1 yards per play. That's 24th in the NFL altogether. Defensively, the Broncos, 14th ranked defense, 24.5 points per game allowed. New England, 23 points per game allowed as well. And really, it's just a 1.5 difference there. So there's a big discrepancy between 14th and 8th, and it's only by a half point margin there. So keep an eye on that as well. Net rushing yards per game allowed. The Broncos allowing 109 yards on the ground. New England allows 115 yards on the ground as well. But we know that they're the number 2 ranked rushing offense, so the Broncos can't allow any kind of big plays in the run game there. The Broncos have only had 1 interception on the season in comparison to New England. That puts Denver at 29th overall in the NFL, where New England has 4 interceptions. That puts them at 6th in the NFL. So really, a 3 interception difference. It can't be there. And I think the Broncos would have more. You go back to the Michael Ojemudia one. If Devontae Bosby comes away with one, the Broncos have more takeaways if those plays are made overall. In terms of takeaways, Denver's only had 2 takeaways. 29th ranked defense in terms of that area and statistical category. Ed Donatell even met with the media yesterday and said they got to find a way to come away with more takeaways, because not getting turnovers, not taking the ball away is absolutely affecting the Broncos and not putting them in good situations in terms of on-field situations if they force a punt. And when the offense has to come back on the field, they usually have a long field to drive. But when you look at the Broncos defensively, they are the 10th ranked defense in terms of sacks, 10 total sacks in the year. New England has only had 6 sacks so far this season. They're tied for 24th in the National Football League. And defensively, the Broncos are pretty solid on third down, only allowing 39.6% of conversions. And New England, they are the 4th ranked defense on third down, 36.8% as well. And that's really equated to the pressure that Bill Belichick likes to send on third down and on second down towards quarterbacks. In terms of red zone percentage defensively, the Broncos, they're 15th in the NFL, allowing 50% conversion percentage in the red zone. New England allows 58.3% conversion percentage in the red zone as well. So really take a look there. But obviously, keys to the game here for the Denver Broncos, folks. Offensive side of the ball, rev the motors. Get the rushing game going. New England has been allowing 115.3 yards per game on the ground from opposing rushers. Phillip Lindsay is returning to the lineup. You got to find a way to feed Phil, feed Melvin Gordon, because both those guys are going to be on the field at the same time, according to Pat Shurmur. Got to get the run game going. That's going to take the pressure off of whether it's Drew Lock, whether it's Brett Rippon at the quarterback position, and then they can get their game plan going. They can open the playbook up a little bit. That's going to be something I think the Broncos are going to try to wrinkle in on Sunday against the Patriots. Defensively, pressure burst pipes. The Broncos have to find a way to send pressure after New England's quarterbacks, regardless if it's Cam Newton, Brian Hoyer, or Jarrett Stidham. They've got to tighten up that underneath coverage, which plays into our matchup. Bryce Callahan against Julian Edelman, Michael Ojemudia on the outside against N'Keal Harry, and then Devontae Bosby covering the other receiver here for the New England Patriots. The Broncos have got to find a way to tighten that coverage up and also continue to send pressure the way that they did against Sam Darnold. How the Patriots adjust to the pressure that Vic's going to send early is going to be critical, in my opinion, to seeing how the Broncos can game plan for them in the second half or even in the second quarter, really taking a look at what they do differently and how Denver can adapt. So it's going to be a chess match between Belichick. It's going to be a chess match between Shurmur and for Vic Fangio and the defense against their offense and Josh McDaniels. It's going to be the ultimate chess match between coaches on Sunday, and I think it's really going to come down to coaching and player execution altogether. And I think really the biggest key to the other one outside of offense and defense I think the Broncos have to come in. They have to play disciplined football. It may sound cliche when you think about it, but the Broncos, they can't afford against a team like New England to make some of those crucial mistakes that they've made so far this season. And what I mean by that is those interceptions that you saw against the Jets, you can't make those. Those interceptions that you had against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know Brett Rippon came in that fourth quarter, tried to fire one on fourth down. Turnovers are going to be absolutely detrimental for the Broncos because New England, they have a turnover margin rank of 13th in the NFL. They are plus one, where Denver is minus six. They have got to find a way to right that ship a little bit, and finding a way to create turnovers defensively, I think, for Denver is going to be huge, but also for the Broncos offense, protecting the football is going to be the biggest difference maker, because here's the deal. New England is the number third ranked team in the NFL right now who controls the time of possession. How do they do it? Well, they capitalize on getting takeaways and forcing teams to make bad mistakes, and then they run the football and they control the time of possession, not giving the other team a chance to get back into the game and to score. That's where it's going to be really big for the Broncos offensively against New England's defense and Denver defensively against New England's offense. It's going to be what they need to do. Broncos have to find a way to capitalize. If you do force turnovers, you got to come away with points. Whether it's three, whether it's 6 points are always good on the board, especially after your defense rewards you. So the offense has to step up this Sunday against the New England Patriots. Well, Broncos country, that'll do it for today's episode of Lockdown Broncos on this beautiful Friday. I hope all of you enjoy your weekend. Once again, you can follow me on Twitter at CodyRourkeNFL. Make sure you follow the podcast at Lockdown Broncos, and make sure that you're subscribed on your favorite podcast provider every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We have a podcast for you. And when you're going to work in the morning, tell your smart device to play the Lockdown Broncos podcast. Like I said, listen on Monday, listen on Tuesday, listen on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We got you covered every single day here, the Lockdown Broncos podcast. But with that said, Broncos country, we'll be back on Monday for the Denver Broncos New England Patriots post-game report, recapping all the action from Sunday's game. Also, interact with me on Twitter. There I'll be live tweeting and interacting, doing halftime shows on Periscope, and interacting with you, Broncos fans. But with that said, I'm Cody York, your host as always. We'll see you on Monday for the Denver Broncos post-game report from the New England Patriots game.